Look, we are here. We are here. We are here. We are here. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is yet another episode of the one and only. That's right. At this point, be visuals. We could call it the one and only motherfucking Unselfish Behavior Podcast in the building. And we have a very, very, very special guest with us today. We got my personal brother right here, the man himself, the man, the myth, the legend, the main man in the building right now, James Howe, man. Welcome, man.
I appreciate it, man. Yes, sir. Give me a chance to, you know what I mean, bless the stage, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, on Unselfish Behavior Podcast, this is a guest-based podcast, right? Okay. And so the goal is to bring on people who has the potential to inspire the audience through testimony, through storytelling, right, and through obviously sharing different perspectives. Usually when I have a guest on, I like to open up the floor and just allow them to be able to set the foundation for who they are, what they stand for, a little bit about themselves and what they do. So if you can just talk to the people who don't know you, let them know who you are, what you do, and just kind of like what your mission is and what you stand for.
No, most definitely, man. Once again, man, I'm grateful for allowing me to be on the stage, letting my hand hang around right here.
Oh, my God. My God. Yes, sir.
You know, we got to
do
it. Got to always acknowledge that.
Absolutely.
Because I'm truly indebted.
Absolutely.
For sure. For sure.
Absolutely.
But yeah, man, I'm James Howe, man. 5'4" on a good day. Shortest guy in the world to run one lap in 45 seconds. Mm. Ran in 2016 Olympics. But hey, that was just the beginning. I started a company called Sia Fitness, which stands for Convenient Fun Fitness. People like conveniency. Mm. Never heard anybody say, I'm having too much fun, I don't want to do anymore. Fitness ain't nothing but a buzzword.
Facts.
Right? Man, we been around 4 years and already in 40 schools.
Wow.
Catch that thought right there. Because like it used to be a thought, but now it's like I'm living
it's
it.
Here.
Right? Like 4 years ago, right? Zero schools. Mm. Now we speed up the process 4 years later, we're in 40 schools.
Love it.
By choice, because again, we're taking that in and out Chick-fil-A approach.
There we go.
We don't want to spread ourselves too thin.
Yeah.
We don't make sure we always giving them some substance.
Love it.
So that's where I'm at with it right there. But yeah, that's a little bit, that's who I am, man.
Love it, love it, love
CEO
it.
CEO and founder. You know?
There we go. That's what I'm saying. And how old are you, James?
Man, 26.
26, so you 2 years younger than me. So like, and it's funny, because when I first met you, I'm like, yo, this brother, like, remember we talked about the mirror reflection.
Yes, love.
And you were talking a lot about manifestation.
That's right.
See, I pay attention. You was talking about The Secret. You was talking about law of attraction.
That's right.
You was talking about things like that. It's funny because you're not the only guest who's now come on this show that's familiar with how the law of attraction works. Talk to me a little bit about what you've learned in that realm and just kind of like manifestation, what it means to you and how you utilize it in your day-to-day life.
Man, I just came off reading Power vs. Force.
Yes, sir.
I just came off of reading Power vs. Force.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, like, I want to operate at my maximum potential, right?
Yep.
Like, I mean, like, to that magnitude of Gandhi,
yep.
Right? Nelson Mandela, those type of individuals who just, like, had so much energy, so much power in them that they had to die.
Mm.
Just like the late Nipsey Hussle. He had to go.
He had to go.
It sucks the way, obviously, it went down.
Right.
However, he was moving in his full-fledged potential. He couldn't keep it inside of his body anymore. He had to go.
Got you.
So, like, I always felt like at a young age, like, I mean, it sucks. Sometimes it makes me want to cry at times, but, like I'm here.
Gotcha.
I'm present.
Gotcha.
And it messed around with an African-American brother in this educational system.
Talk about it.
And I'm going to reveal the truth. And once I continue to reveal the truth, we got to take that man out. But I'll be operating at my maximal potential, my maximal power. Maybe at 800, 900, 1,000. Only Jesus reaches 1,000.
Come on.
Okay?
Come on.
Follow me now.
Love it.
Only Jesus reached 1,000.
Wow.
Right?
Yep.
Gandhi was somewhere around 850, maybe 900.
Got you.
I'm telling you.
When you say these numbers, what are you speaking in regards to?
I'm speaking in regards of just majority of individuals are walking around at 100 points, I'll say. It's like a 1,000-point scale, right?
Love it.
Majority of individuals are not maximizing their full potential because they're distracted, right? They're distracted. Social media, which is cool because it's today's present, right?
Yep.
Relationships, right?
Right.
Cause you gotta have relationships, of course, but like the right relationships.
Right.
That's gonna allow you to maximize your full potential, right? Most individuals are not even seeking or searching for the purpose. Like, I just need to get a job. So I need to pay my bills.
That's right.
Which is cool because we gotta pay bills.
Of
we can't
course.
We can't eat leaves.
Of course.
Right? We can't eat leaves. However, right, during the process of us of seeking our full potential, we need to be seeking our purpose.
Love it.
Right?
Are you one to believe? Because I'm huge on purpose, and I know you've been following me now for a minute.
Yeah,
you be showing mad love. On my
page. Man. Hey,
look,
real. Hey, I'm a real nigga, man. Like,
I appreciate
so,
you, bro.
I'm not one of those individuals who's gonna be like, oh yeah, what's up? And we gonna link up? No, we gonna really link up.
That part.
We gonna really link up.
That part.
That's what we gonna do.
Break bread
organically.
And it's beautiful because it social media is awesome because it allows you to touch people who you never met before.
100%.
For me, I'm huge on telling people. A huge part of my message is not only one about perspective, but it's one about purpose. Purpose is like the driving force for my ultimate message. It's to understand the difference between pursuing your dreams and submitting to your purpose. At what point in your journey did you realize that the type of work that you're doing is in alignment with your purpose? At what point in your life did you become aware of your calling, right? I think the purpose is in a complete alignment with what your calling is and what you were sent here to do, right? At what point did it hit you like, aha, this is what it is?
Man, honestly, 2012, man.
Love it.
2012, man, when I was pursuing my first Olympic run, mm-hmm. when I didn't even make the team.
Love it, yep.
Then make the team, I started telling myself, you know what, maybe this ain't for me. Maybe this track thing ain't my calling. Maybe this is not my purpose, mm-hmm. right? Right? But all he was saying was, I wasn't ready. Mm. I just wasn't ready yet, right?
Be patient.
But during the process, though, right, I wasn't signed. I didn't have no contract with no shoe company at that point. So I had to go get it. So mm-hmm. during the process of transitioning from Texas mm-hmm. to California, I was training at UCLA. Mm-hmm. Right, and I noticed the staff, some personal trainers training like 90 staff members at UCLA.
Wow.
I'm like, man, even if they're giving them $100 a monthly fee.
Straight up.
That's not bad.
That's real. That's real.
I like money. You know what I mean? Hey, I always like money.
Come on, talk about
so
it.
So like,
yes, sir.
I'm like, okay, let me take this same concept
right.
to elementary schools.
Love it.
Cool, I could train their staff. Mm. Like, and if I give them like a contract,
yep.
they can pay me like 4 weeks out because they can't go nowhere, they teachers. They got to show up,
yep.
right? Mm. All right, depending on what school district you in, I'll say, but the school district I was in,
right.
they show up.
Right.
They get paid pretty well.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
So I'm like, okay, I take it to the school. And then I got a principal, Mr. Nicole Childs. I'm going to shout out. Give her a shout out because I got to be getting on me.
There you go.
Got to be transparent.
There you go.
Yep. Right? Dooley.
Love it.
Long Beach.
Love it. Yes, sir.
Where I'm from.
There it is. Come
That's
on.
Why, you know.
You see in
favoritism. Favoritism.
Hey, nigga, you did mention Long Beach quite a few times when
okay.
I first met you.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
now
yeah.
it's all coming full circle.
Okay.
It's all coming full circle.
It's understood. Ain't got to be explained.
Come on now. Talk about it then.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Here it is. But yeah, Mr. Coach Childs, man. Yep. She was like, I'm dealing with too many behavior issues. Even though I pay you, I can't finish your workouts. Or sometimes I can't show up. I still give you money. However, I can't finish these workouts because I'm dealing with too many parents. I got a call.
Right.
I said, if you could have anything at your school, what would you want? She said, structure play. Let me hold on.
Wow.
Structure play. She said, yeah. I said, you would pay me to play with your kids? She said, yeah. I said, uh-oh.
Game time.
Game time.
All you're doing is putting the curriculum together.
Okay. 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 Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Yeah.
And then putting the show on.
Come on.
What
game
I do
time.
Best.
Lights, camera, action.
What I do best.
Come on.
So I'm like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and make a phone call to somebody who really understands how to put together a strategic curriculum.
Love it.
All right. I mean, that's just any old curriculum.
An effective, strategic curriculum.
Yep. Right. STEM aligned at that point. It's now STEAM aligned, but STEM aligned. I said, hey, what does this word mean? She said, science, technology, engineering, math. I'm like, word? Mm. That's the new wave?
Come on.
Okay? That's the new wave?
Yep.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I need you down here. Are you willing to quit your job? Because she was a teacher at this point.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Getting benefits. Mm. Right?
The whole nine.
I said, man, I got this crazy concept. And like, I can't sleep. And like, I'm designing my logo and like the CF looks like a track runner. And like, I like my stuff convenient and I love to have fun. She like, hey James, you know how to get to it. I remember
I'm
in college, you know
I'm
what I mean?
Board.
You're right, I went to college with you. You get to it.
That part.
Like if you just call them, you know it ain't on shenanigans, right?
Yep.
So that's how it came about. And I just knew it at that point, like, yo,
love it.
Track ain't really for me no more. This ain't nothing but a platform or stepping stool. Mm. So people can see how I competed for a different country. Follow me now.
Wow.
Compete for a different country, right? Yep. I figured it out, right? Mm-hmm. Somewhat of some ties.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
I was like, man, I can't make the USA team, right? Mm-hmm. But it's 45-second 400 meters going to stand for something
Guaranteed.
In a different country.
Guaranteed.
I said, Olympian is Olympian. It's a title. Mm. Something they'll never be able to take from me.
Yep.
I said, oh, ding, ding, Come ding, on. Ding, ding.
It's hitting you.
There it is. Use this as a stepping stone. Mm. Use it as a stepping stone.
To get where you need to go.
Right.
Yep.
Because your full purpose is your background, your backstory, which we're going to get into, of course.
Yep,
I know.
Yep.
I know you get down.
Yep.
Right? Your backstory. Mm-hmm. And once you get in this educational system, you reveal
game.
The truth.
It's ball game.
Right. Who was the first individual who created the, you know, the shoe line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, it wasn't that man. It was this man.
Mm.
Oh, I never knew. Yeah, I know. I understand. Let me go ahead.
Play the game. Get your foot in the door. Once you get in the door, change the game.
Booyah.
Got you.
That's it.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Your mind, everything about you, I don't know, man. Just from the first time I met you, I just feel like I'm looking in the mirror, bro. My journey, it started off in poetry. And my sister was actually the first person that told me, you know, just a little bit about my story, my backstory that you're not aware of. I got a lot of people ask me, Q, how did you start on this road that you're on right now in terms of just having different platforms to where you're expressing purpose and you're walking in purpose? A huge testament goes to this woman right here, my sister, Coquise. Shout out to Coquise. Yep. Got to shout her out. But I was going through my last breakup. I was engaged. I've been engaged twice, 28 years old.
Okay.
Before, in those two relationships, I had no idea of the things that I was, I'm not going to say I had no idea, but I wasn't walking in the things that I was passionate about at all. My last relationship ended and I was just in a slump, like the first 5 days, right? Let's say. And my sister at the time was my next door neighbor. And I'll never forget going over there probably like day two, day three. And I'm just like, sis, I'm down. Like, I don't even know like what to do. And she told me, she said, you need to start doing the things you love again. And you know what I told her? She said, you need to start doing the things you're good at again. And I told her, but I'm not good at nothing. Bro, we're talking about 4 years ago now. The man that you're looking at today said, I'm not good at nothing. And that's just a huge testament of how the people around you can take you away from your calling if you allow it to, right? And so she took me to my first open mic, right? And right. She said, you do know what you're good at. You just haven't done it in a long time. You was always a writer. You was always a performer. You was always a speaker. You just haven't done it since middle school. So it's like now you live in life with the 9-to-5 clock in mindset, right, to where you're just getting by, paying your bills, taking care of your kid, and you feel like you don't have no sense of purpose. You're not fulfilled. You're getting paid, but the fulfillment is not there. So now she took me to my first open mic and it was ball game. It was motherfucking ball game.
Oh, yeah.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I went up in there and saw young, hungry, aggressive. Like, I ain't even gonna say aggressive. I'm gonna say passionate creatives in there torching the motherfucking stage.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sitting there like, what the fuck is this? Went home that night, wrote my first poem, blazed it, start performing, got on stage. My first week getting on stage, I looked at this line and the business mindset tapped into me. Why am I paying to sit in line for 3 hours when I can just make my own event?
Yes, sir.
I made my own event within the first 3 weeks of me even coming up, even being exposed to an environment. So 3 weeks in, I'm like, I could just make my own one. And so I made my own open mic, and then I start doing open mics, and then I start hosting my own open mics. So now I'm jumping into it. So anyway, that's how my journey started.
That's right.
For you, I'm curious to hear about what is your message to the people out here who is living in that mindset of just clocking in, getting their money. They're not really feeling the fulfillment. They're not too focused on what makes them happy. And what I mean by that is, I know a lot of people, and I'm sure you do as well, who have the money, but they don't have no time with their family. They've completely abandoned the things that they're passionate about. They got a bunch of money, but they have no fulfillment.
That's right.
And it's a lot of people that's stuck in that, and they've convinced themselves of that mindset being okay, getting to the bag and not getting to the happiness.
Mm.
What's the difference for you in that, and what's the ultimate message that you want to get across to people in regards to how important it is for you to have that fulfillment to go along with actually having the finances of what you do?
To be honest with you, I mean, I've experienced both emotions.
Love it.
Right? I mean, I have my times today when I'm experiencing those both emotions.
Yeah.
Because you had those times when you like, man, I see myself on the Forbes list.
Yep.
So when you see yourself on the Forbes list, you're like, man, hey, I'm about to get to it.
Yep.
I mean, I know I'm supposed to link up with my moms. I know I'm supposed to link up with the homies. I know I'm supposed to, I'm about to get to it.
All that's on hold.
Oh, my, babe, you said we're going to the movies. Man, I miss
me
with that.
Listen.
Miss me with that. I had this Forbes list goal before you came here, man. Hold on. Okay? This Forbes list goal might have been a situation that attracted you to me at the end of the day.
Facts.
I don't know yet. I'm still getting to learn you, right? Not know you, getting to learn you.
Love
like,
it.
Like the educational realm, right? Like,
yep.
I'm still getting to learn you. Mm-hmm. So, like, my message to that, man, is, I mean, sit down with yourself.
Right.
Sit down with yourself.
Mm.
Be still. Mm. Right? Turn the music off. Right? Turn the TV off.
Social media is huge.
Turn it silence.
Off. Shut it down.
Shut it down. You know what I mean? If you feel like, you know what I mean? Do what you do.
Yep.
You know what I mean? When you silent.
Yep.
Do your do.
Facts.
Right?
Facts.
Do your do.
Yep.
But sit still. Mm. And, like, start listening to your thoughts.
Mm.
Right? Listen to your thoughts.
Mm.
And then also listen to your, like, the heartbeat, too, of when you say that thought in your mind. You're like, okay, am I racing? Am I like, okay, I gotta do this, or it's just something that like I might have heard, and it's just like going through one ear out the other.
Being present with what emotions come up.
That's
with,
right.
With the thought.
That's right.
It's huge.
Being in tuned.
Yeah.
Right. Being conscious. Being mindful.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, 'cause your thoughts like will reshape the way like the narrative of how your life is going.
Yep.
I say again, your thoughts will reshape the way the narrative of your life is going, because like you are what you think of yourself.
Yep.
Right. Before I even got to this stage, I was like, man, I'm walking around with my head held high. Like, I already got 40 schools.
You already know who you are.
Right. I'm going to move like I already got 40 schools. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm going to move with these 40 schools like I got a whole powerhouse. Mm-hmm. Go talk to my HR. That might be me. I don't know.
Facts.
Right.
Facts.
Go talk to my accountant. That might be me. I don't know.
That part.
I'm going to move like it though.
Love it.
Right.
Love
I'm not saying I don't got it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I have it. I'm just saying I'm going to move like it.
Yeah.
It's your thought process. It's your pattern.
And when you move like it, you attract it.
Booyah. So sit still. That's what that'll be my game if I'm gonna give to anybody.
I love it.
Young, old, middle aged, or any of that. Mm. Sit down and be still. Because it was until I sat down and was still. Like, man, what is like? Okay, come on, man.
Right.
Come on, man. What make you feel good?
Right.
Okay. Okay. What can you create to still give you enough time to spend with your family?
Yep.
Hang out with your boys.
Yep.
Right. And your significant other, if you choose to have one.
Got you.
Right.
Got you.
And spend time with your creator, whoever your creator is, and whoever you choose to believe.
Got you.
First and foremost.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
Stuff like that. So that's my advice, man. My little 2 cents.
I love it. And I think that's important for people to hear. Now, I want to jump into the topic of adversity.
Sir.
It's one of my most favorite topics, just because it gives people an in-depth look at what goes behind the success. People get so attached to titles.
That's right.
People get so attached to just looking at the trophy, but they don't look at the process that it took in order to get the actual fucking trophy.
Oh yeah.
The countless nights, the sacrifices, the arguments, the whatever it is, the feeling stripped, the being broke, the investing and losing, the whole nine. Talk to me a little bit about what are some adversities. If I ask James Howe, what are some of your most memorable and most notable pieces of adversity that you've been through along your journey to get here to where you are today, what things will come to your mind if I asked you that?
First thing is going to be when I was offered only one scholarship out of every school I applied for and things of that nature, right?
Yeah.
That's the little thing to me, right?
Yeah.
Then we're going to skip to that one school that gave me that scholarship to play football, right? During the process, I mean, even before that, they had difficulties of reading and things of that nature, you know?
Yep.
Dyslexia, things of that nature. It's one thing a lot of people don't know about me, even to this day.
Gotcha.
Right? So I applied that with trying to study the plays even in high school. Didn't even understand.
Gotcha.
He couldn't even understand how to read the plays in high school.
You got to memorize the whole play.
Right, right. So let me see you do it so I can like rehearse this act.
Gotcha.
Just why, again, I go back to like, I know my purpose because I can rehearse this act.
Gotcha.
Right?
That's
right. But now I'm in college now. The playbook get even more advanced. I'm like, man.
Y'all tripping.
How can I even be my full self?
That's real.
Like, I'm trying to figure out these plays
and
things of that nature, right? Yeah. So I'm like, man, when the teachers rose my hand, I said, man, I want to be a professional athlete, right? So I'm like, okay, football is probably going to allow me to be a professional athlete.
Yeah.
But remember these words right here. Right. I wanted to be a professional athlete.
Yep.
Right? So, this little spring, summer, and things of that nature, things wasn't going my way. I didn't know how to sit on the bench, right? Coming from where I'm from, I'm a star.
I'm starting.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, not only are you going to sit on the bench, we about to redshirt you.
Come on.
I'm like, hold on, man.
Put you on a secondary practice squad.
Come on, man. I got the orange. Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like the ladies and stuff like that, of course.
That part.
So, like.
You can't even. They don't even see you. They don't even know you on the team.
Come on, man.
My man out there with a red shirt on.
James, what you doing with that little orange booty on your head? I'm like, hold on.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm from Long Beach, so I'm out there on the East Coast, so I'm feeling myself.
That part.
I'm on West Coast.
Yep.
I'm in the snow, my chucks.
That part.
Right? Extra'd out.
Come on.
Right? Don't even wear chucks at the house, but I'm throw my chucks on.
That part.
When I get out there on the East Coast.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, needless to say, man, it was a time frame where I'm getting measured by the NFL scouts. They say I'm 5'3". I'm like, wow. Okay. I'm going to the coach asking for extra help. He's showing me other receivers' position plays. I'm like, hold on, man. I'm like, I know I run H, but you're showing me Z and X plays. What's going on? Like,
right.
So that was my defining moment at one time when I'm like crying, call my mom, like, Mom, I don't know what I'm going to do. They're taking away my dream. Because at that point, sports defined me. Mm. That moment broke me, my boy.
Wow.
That moment broke your boy, man. Real talk. Like, Mom, I never had a moment like when I called my mom boo-hooing.
Wow,
they taking away my dream.
Wow.
I ain't got no control. Because they dictate if they're going to play me or not.
Right.
I said, hold on, let me go to the bag real quick, man. Mm-hmm. I run track.
That part.
I was fast in high school. Mm-hmm. Akron did notice me running track. So I reached out to the track coach, asked him, can you take over my little football, whatever little money they was giving me?
Yeah.
Right? Because I was still coming out of my pocket.
Yeah.
Right? Still coming out of my pocket. Like, okay, can you take over a little money they giving me? And if I do my thing, can I get a full scholarship? They said, yeah, man, hey, go ahead. Next year, ran track, ended up running a 46, breaking a school record. It just got broke. Moving on now. Mm. Now, you know what I mean? I'm out of college.
Yep.
I'm pursuing my track and field career.
Yep.
Right? Not sitting down, being still, reading no books, understanding what the history of how track and field actually works.
Right.
Right? Like, I literally just broke the indoor record, you know what I mean, at the USA Indoors. Mm-hmm. Right? Ran 46.5 for, like, my height.
Wow.
Right? Right? I'm like, okay, I'm on now. I'm about to get ready to sign me a shoe deal.
Yep. They notice you now. Yeah, big time.
2 days later, still no phone call.
Nothing.
Oh, yeah, by the way, I had to finish one more class, and I lived in San Antonio. My school was in San Angelo at this point in Texas, at this point. So that's a three-hour commute, right? I'm like, man, I can't go back to school, man. They just seen me finish third in USA, right? All this, man, sure, I can't go back there and not have a shoe deal. Mm. So you know your boy going to the outlet, you know what I mean? Reebok outlet.
Right.
Buy a whole bunch of Reebok gear.
Yep.
And the world don't even know about this, man.
Come on, go there with me. No, that's real. This is where the inspiration lies at.
Hey, the world don't even know about this right here.
Talk about it.
I went to the Reebok outlet, bought a whole
bunch. Geared up, all Reebok.
Come on, man.
Coming here like I got a deal. Bags, nigga, what's up?
Shoes, the whole nine. Please, the whole nine.
Homie got a headband
Come on, man. Yeah, you know what I mean? I had a curl at this point.
Receiving gloves,
okay,
Reebok.
Okay, huh? Come on now. Everything.
Everything Reebok.
Yeah, your boys went on. You know, low voice on.
Yeah, I got
your boys went on here with y'all. I'm Reebok.
Yeah, you know, I'm
yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Hey, James, you on now, huh? You on now? Huh?
Yeah.
Still borrowing my girl car. Wow. My college girlfriend, we ain't together no more.
That part,
you know,
that part. Ex-girlfriend.
You know how that go.
That part.
But yeah, borrowing the car.
Yeah.
All right. Move past that. Mm-hmm. All right. I get in, before I even get to Texas, I get into a little trouble though.
Yeah.
Right? Because we got to, you know what I mean? Before I even got there, you know what I mean? I got, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is the narrative about like why I'm in Texas now. Because I started in Ohio, graduated in Texas.
Gotcha.
Right? So, yeah, man. On the outside looking in, the way I present myself, right? Like this gentleman ain't never been through nothing. He may be a SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, it was that year right before 2012. Right?
Right.
Right? I see myself after I get done with a little recruiting visit. Over there in Cal State LA. I'm sorry, stand corrected. Homie hit me up like, hey man, I got a little play. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I said, I like money.
That part.
Well, I love the money. All
there
right?
We go.
I still
there
like
go.
Money. You know what I mean? Every now and then I still love
ain't
it.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
But at that point, man, I'm with the business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's something that I didn't present myself as, but I'm with the business.
Yeah.
Homie got a little of the situation, I'm with it.
Yeah.
All right?
Yep.
So 30 minutes later after I recruit visit, I find myself in Westwood. Mm. All right? Yeah. All right? Yeah. I'm with the business. All right? Catch myself in an uncomfortable situation.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
Had a couple of individuals around me, you know. No name said.
Of course.
All right? You know that is. But yeah. 2 days later, doing my due, step outside, see the cops to my left of me. I'm like, nah, I ain't going out right now, man. That's weird.
Right.
I'm cool.
Right.
Doing my due.
Right.
You know? Still running track, still running fast.
Doing your thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Doing my due, though.
Yep.
So, give it about 10, 15 minutes. Look out, cop gone. I'm like, cool, for sure. Homie hit me up. Like, hey, pull up on me. Let's go to the swap meet, man. Go get some, you know what I mean? Grab some teas real quick, get popping for the night. I'm like, say no more. All right?
Yep.
On my way there, though, like, I'm driving, and, like, on the opposite side of me, right, going the other way, I keep seeing a whole bunch of cops. I'm like, man, what, like, this is weird, bro. Like,
yeah,
you know what
I
mean? Like, this is weird, bro.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool, whatever, man. Whatever, I ain't tripping, bro. We finna go hit the swap meet.
Facts.
Regular smuggler stuff that we always do.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I get there, walk upstairs, chop it up with the homie fella. We chopping it up maybe no longer than 5 minutes.
Yep.
I mean, I'm hearing helicopters all over the, you know what I mean, the little demo.
At this point, you got to be a little nervous.
Yeah, I'm like, man, like, this okay, is yeah, tricky,
this,
bro.
Yeah, this shit weird.
Right? I'm like, hey, bro. Hey, when I was coming here, man, like, I passed a whole bunch of cops, man. Then it's like, how ironic, I hear this helicopter. He like, Nah, bro, you tripping, bro. Like,
tripping, bro.
Man, you know where we at, bro. Yeah, you know what I mean?
We straight.
Right. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, man, bro.
That's regular shit. They ain't worried
about us. Right. Yeah. Like, nah, bro, like, nah.
Something don't feel right.
Right. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because my mom's prior to that, like, whoop de whoop, keep driving up in the cul-de-sac. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Right.
Cool, whatever.
Right.
All right. So, we step outside. First, the Mexican pull up on me, right? Mm. I'm like, hold on. Like, I'm gonna get on real quick. He got the gun drawn out. I'm like, hold on.
Police?
Yeah. Gotcha. You know, police. I mean, I can't leave that out. Sorry about that.
Of course, yeah. I'm thinking it's a nigga robbing you at this point.
Nah,
I'm like, hold on, nigga, this is a twist.
Bet.
So,
I'm like, I'm about to get on, bro. Like.
About the book.
Nothing, you know what I mean? Then the African-American gentleman, you know, pull up on me.
Yep.
I'm like, get down. I'm like, wow.
It's real.
Yeah. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was one of those moments where it's like, damn, bro, you made that decision, bro.
Yep. You got to deal with it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So now I'm having this conversation with my man. You got the pictures and all that good stuff, right?
Yep.
Artists allegedly, right? Because I don't want to go in depth about it.
Of course.
You know what I mean? All that, you know?
Yep.
Allegedly, whoop-de-whoop. I'm like, okay. All right?
Yep.
I don't know nothing about that.
That part.
All right? So I'm like, damn, bro. Now I'm talking to him like, man, I just broke the school record, man. Mm. Akron University, you can Google my name. Like, right? Same thing, you know, when I first met you, you know what I mean?
Of course. All
right? Still cocky on that end, right?
Yeah.
But like, Google me, man. Like, nah, man. Nah, I move like that.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
I don't care about none of that.
That's what he said.
I don't care about none of that.
Yeah, like, fuck that, nigga. Yeah.
They got you tied to such and such. I'm like, oh, yeah? Wow.
Yeah. That's real. Those moments, I feel like every great has a moment, right?
Yeah.
You hear the stories, you read the stories, you listen to the stories of people who are on a certain spectrum, on a certain level. And they all have that something happened, whether it was homelessness, whether it was them going to prison, whether it was them losing a loved one, whether it was them battling a severe illness. They dealt, there was something that I feel every great goes through. Do you feel like that moment, obviously, we know the foundation of it without going into any more, you know, real depths of the situation. Do you feel like that moment changed you in regards to how you started moving in your purpose, right? Well, did you look at it as kind of like a wake-up call from God? Like, son, wake up. Like, or how did you view it?
Man, I feel like three strikes you out.
Yeah.
That was my second. At that point, that was my second one.
Yeah.
Because before that, you know what I mean?
Wild boy. Wild boy James.
Running it up over there in Akron University. And then, you know what I mean? So.
Got you.
You know? So. I literally just got off the phone with my mans, man, who was involved in the same situation, right? Life ain't fair.
Yep.
Same situation. Life ain't fair.
Yep.
So I just got off the phone with him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So I feel like I'm forever indebted, like the Apostle Paul.
Got you.
I feel like I'm forever indebted.
Mm-hmm.
So I know if I was to have an opportunity to resurface back into the real world, I knew I'm forever indebted.
Got you.
So no matter what, no matter how painful it is, no matter those nights when I was taking those cold showers,
yep,
those nights where the individual who chose to relocate for my dream, 6 months of no pay, we literally living off her. Obviously, when you quit your job, you know what I mean? You get your little money, whatever the case may be. Living off her money, off my dream, her money. Follow me now.
Got you.
Her money, my dream.
Mm-hmm.
Cold showers.
Yep.
Same believe in me.
Got you.
Not even understanding what purchasing orders were.
Mm.
I'm forever indebted, man.
Yeah.
I know.
And you walk with it too.
Oh yeah.
You walk with a spirit of gratitude, a spirit of humility. And I think it's a testament to your experiences. I think it's a testament to what you've been through. When you talk about being forever indebted, you're talking about service of other people. I think that the most powerful business that you can be in is to serve others, right? And for me, that's kind of like what keeps me going. You know, days to where I was just telling my woman this, like days to where I feel like I don't want to do something or I don't want to go. I think about the people that's going to be impacted by my decision of not going, once you become aware of your purpose, it's very difficult for you to not walk in that, if that makes sense, right? So it's just something, man. 26 years old, having those types of experiences at such a young age, but being so clear, so aware of your purpose. What's next for you? What's something that you're kind of like looking forward to? Where are we going with this? I know obviously we mentioned CF Fitness. You're aware of your purpose and you being of service to, in particular, the youth is what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah.
What's next for you? Whether it's from a business perspective, whether it's from a personal perspective, talk to me a little bit about how you're going to take the experiences that you've been through and you're going to apply them towards your next steps.
No, most definitely, man. When I was creating CF Fitness, man, it was again during my hardship times.
Yep.
During my times seeking to go to the Olympics.
Yep.
And I told everybody, man, I was going to create a platform to allow me to go on the stage.
Yep.
Like, again, I love to entertain.
Yeah.
I love to entertain. I said, CF Fitness is going to be the stepping stone because I'll have access to the kids. Mm-hmm. So it'll always keep me concurrent, first.
Yep.
Second, it's showtime, right?
Yep.
I want the kids to walk away with a Walt Disney experience. Mm. So I will create a character, which I have a cartoon book, anti-bullying book.
Love it.
Actually just did a beautification day at Emerson, and we just redid a whole playground.
Nice.
With a little muscle.
Love it.
Right? I said I would create this individual who will be able to monetize on every single aspect of kids.
Wow.
We would create a company, a Nickelodeon company, right? Mm-hmm. A service, but it would be a Nickelodeon type of feel. A Walt Disney type of experience. And an everlasting effect on the administrative and staff individuals who come in and out of that school.
Love it.
Right? I wanted to take these individuals' mindset back to a childlike mindset when we were free. Mm-hmm. Right? You didn't judge.
Got you.
We were equal.
Got you.
Right?
Absolutely.
So CF Fitness was nothing but a platform with these 40 schools. If it's there's 1,000 kids, they got to have some type of guardian. So now, if it's 1,000 kids, now you got 80,000 because with their guardian. Right?
Got you.
That's my platform.
Got you.
And with that platform is going to spread to other platforms. Mm-hmm. Right? We just finished up with our first anti-bullying event at Sorensen Elementary School.
Love it.
They call me Speedy J when I'm in character.
Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
And we always speak about stand up for yourself. Mm. Right? Tell a teacher. Mm-hmm. Right? Have confidence. Look them dead in the eye and tell them to stop. Mm. Be an upstander, not a bystander.
Love it.
Right? Mm-hmm. I created this character. So now we create dolls, we create books, we even create a cartoon off this, right?
Love it.
Because I'm a businessman, not a businessman.
Come on now, you sound like my manager, Sonny.
Come on now.
It's funny, I ain't never heard nobody else say that but her.
Okay.
She's like, Q, you're not a businessman, you a businessman. I'm like, oh, that's different, that's weird, that's wild.
So studying, you know what I mean, the greats, like the Jay-Z's, you know?
That's real.
The Warren Buffett's, right? Even the great Nip, man. I mean, just understanding that, like you trade off this base, this foundation, and you build.
And you build off of it. Yep.
And you stand for what you believe in.
That's right.
Right?
I think it's important for people to understand what that base is, though. And I always talk to people about the power of impact.
Facts.
What's the impact of your project? And you understand where your impact lies. Where your impact lies, your audience lies.
That's right.
So if my impact is in the schools with the kids, I can now take that vehicle and move it to different areas, whether it's children books, whether it's this, whether it's that, right?
100%.
And I don't know, that's just something that I'm experiencing as well in my life. Just my gift is centered around communications.
That's right.
And I don't even like calling myself a speaker, motivational speaker. I'm not like into those terms at all, just because I feel like that's putting me in a box. And I'm so like, in my mind, I'm extremely revolutionary in regards to my ability to communicate and to connect people. Talk to me a little bit about the power of trusting and having that faith, right? You spoke a little bit briefly earlier about your faith.
That's right.
But I think that once you start walking in your purpose, you're going to be required to make certain decisions that you won't even understand, but you'll be required to trust.
Yeah.
So you'll be required to trust things that don't logically make sense, but you'll do it anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Talk a little bit about your faith and how that's kind of been a part of your journey and you being where you're at right now.
Man, Coach Edwards, man, I got to give him a shout out.
Talk about it.
Akron University.
Yep.
Man, he put me on of just going to church and understanding the value of church or the power of believing something. Because when I want to go to church, I was going there for the honeys.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Lord. Okay, I was going there for the honeys.
James Howell in there on the prowl.
Yeah. But I asked him. I said, man, you got the school record in the 200 and the 100 in these relays. I said, man, what did you do? Oh, like, how'd you do it? He said, man, I believed in God. I'm like, oh yeah. I said,
how'd that work?
I said, yeah, man. So like, yeah, what's the dynamic of that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He said, you gotta read. You gotta believe in what you're reading. You gotta,
right.
You know, show up and show out. I'm like, he said, what's faith without works? I said, so all I gotta do is put my goals in a Bible, bro, and I'm gonna run fast and break the school record, bro.
That part.
I said, bro, sign me up.
That part, right now.
Sign me up right now.
Yeah.
So like, I did it, cause like, it was a standard.
Yeah.
I seen it on the wall. His name was on the wall. He's all American, right? A Hall of Fame, right? I'm like, that's the standard. Mm. So let me go ahead and model and mimic the standard.
Yeah.
It's already been done.
Yep.
This is all you gotta do. Put your goals in some Bible. Cool. Run it. Run it. I read your goals every day.
Yeah.
Read a little Bible verse.
Yeah.
I'm gonna run fast.
That's right.
Cut the check, please.
Come on now. Let
Cut
me get
the check,
it.
Please.
Get to it.
I've been doing it ever since.
I love it.
I've been doing it ever since.
How long you been in it now? How long you been considering yourself obviously a Christian, right?
Yes.
How long have you been in the Christian faith, and how's that been kind of like? Obviously, you just spoke about how prevalent it's been for you in your journey, but how long have you been on that journey?
Man, I'll say about 8 years now.
Yeah.
On and off, though.
How important is that, though?
It's
huge. Yeah.
I'm talking about, because it is to a point where the talks your mom would have with you when you was a child, it no longer moves you. I'm talking about the talks you would have with mom. Mm. I'm going through some things. Dad, I'm going through some things. Brother,
yeah.
I'm going through some things.
Yeah.
It don't move you no more.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to believe in something higher than them. Mm. I'm like, I don't know nothing higher than them until right. It was revealed to me.
Gotcha.
So I don't care what you believe in, whatever practice you choose to practice, you got to practice it. Mm. Kobe Bryant to become Kobe Bryant without practice.
Facts.
LeBron to become LeBron without practice.
Facts.
Right?
How about Iverson?
Come on, man.
Practice. Hey. Nigga, what's hey. Practice?
Don't, hey, don't let him fool you.
That part.
When he wasn't at the
Iverson the facility. Practice.
When he was at the facility,
that's real.
He was in the hood.
That part.
He was in the hood.
At the park, at the rec center.
I mean, staying connected.
That's real.
That's why he's still concurrent today, because he was staying connected.
That's real. It's funny I bring up Allen Iverson, because I talk about him a lot, and I have this theory in my mind, and I call it the Allen Iverson theory, to where you can be sweet by yourself.
Yeah.
I experienced this for my first 3 years, well, probably about 2.5 years of me being on my journey. I'm going into year 4 now in regards to just the journey that I've been on, me walking in my purpose. But for the first 2 years, I really felt like I really didn't need anybody around me in order to be successful, to be completely honest with you. And that comes from me feeling like, if we're speaking in basketball terms, bro, I'm going to get 40. I'm going to get 15 boards every night. Like, that's a given. Can't nobody take that away from me. And so I call that the Allen Iverson theory, because Allen Iverson was sweet, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
He was sweet. Unstoppable, unguardable, had every single fucking move. He was short, so he was super annoying. Like, nigga, why can't I stop this little ass nigga? He's scorching my whole team for 50, 55 points on a night. And it's like, but he ain't never won no championship.
Mm.
Because that mindset never allowed him to be able to defer, right? How important is it to have a team being centered around this type of journey that I would say we on?
Man.
Come on. It's everything.
I just
talk about
4 years.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I'm starting to accept the fact that people know more than me in different areas.
Got you.
Oh man, it's tough.
Yeah.
Cause it be them times. I come from a selfish sport.
Yeah.
Like, some people come from these team sports. It's just me on the track.
Yeah.
So I come from a selfish sport.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
But then I sat down and got still. I said, yeah, I come from a selfish sport on the outside looking in. You got to have your team behind you.
Got coaches and all
you got the coach.
Yeah.
Got your chiropractor.
Yep.
Right? You got your physical therapist.
You got a whole team.
Right? You got the whole team. Oh, even Jesus had disciples. Whoa.
Yeah.
Something I choose to study and practice.
Yeah.
And my belief system. And he had his disciples for a reason.
Facts.
Let me go ahead and do some homework. Why he had his disciples?
That's real.
Oh, wow. These Fortune 500 companies got people up the wazoo.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm.
Oh, Steve Jobs used to put people in one room.
Mm.
Follow me now. Put people in one room. Strong-minded people,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
People like ourselves.
Yep.
Multiply by like 20, right?
Yep.
And see who can out, right? Who can out sharp the other individual to come together and get this concrete.
Gotcha.
Product. But it took a
team.
Yeah.
Took a collective.
So now, like, 3 months into, like, my, oh, yeah, I need a team. I can't do it myself. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Usually I wouldn't make this, like, sit down with you because I'm tired.
Yeah.
Got my team.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hey, sometimes I have a little idle time.
That part.
Sometimes I feel like watching TV.
That part.
But I read a book, you know what I mean? Every now and then I get a little TV in me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But for the most part, man, like, read I'm seeing, stuff. Man, this yeah. is, it's, yeah. it's allowing me to stay sharp. Mm-hmm. It's really allowing me to stay sharp and in tune.
Got you.
Right? Because when I'm too busy, I notice my conversation structure is not the same.
Got you.
I'm like, wow, I'm saying yeah, instead of taking in that conversation
yeah.
or that sentence they spit to me.
Yeah.
And being more mindful of what I spit back to them.
Got you.
With my tone mm. and things of that nature. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think about family, right? I just thought about family while you were talking. And along my journey, I've found that it's oftentimes your family that discourages you the most. When you start having these crazy ideas that some people will call, right?
Oh yeah.
Like telling your mom, yo, I'm about to quit my full-time job, benefits, 401k, all that shit. It's out the window.
Oh, yeah.
In order to put together this structured recess program
oh, yeah.
that I have in my mind. Oh, what's the vision? Man, I envision putting together a curriculum and a program and being able to take it to multiple schools within these inner cities and other schools abroad. And being able to have an interactive and engaging experience for students during recess. Most moms will look at you like, nigga, you stupid as fuck. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I experienced that a lot on my journey, especially earlier on. I think my mom didn't transition over into like really being extremely supportive until she had to come to one of my events.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
she
yeah.
came to my event last oh, yeah. July. It was a sold out event. I had over 125 Congrats. People out, sold it out in a week. And that was at the Barbara Morrison Theater, and I did that with a team,
yes, sir.
Right? I had a team of 15 people working for me at the time, and we sold this event out. And my mom, she actually brought my mom. I didn't even know my mom was coming.
That's right.
My sister brought my mom through, and I seen her in the audience when I came on stage. Bro, this was my first production that I ever put on. My man was there. BV was there.
Yes,
lit, right, BV? This event was crazy. Like, bro, till this day, the biggest event that I've ever produced. Like, bro, it's packed wall to motherfucking wall. I felt it's like everybody in LA was in there, bro. It was lit. So I come out on stage and I see my mom there. And, bro, I immediately, like, broke down. Because this is, at this point, this is 2.5 years of me being on this journey that she's never understood.
That's right.
And so now you see your son on stage, the one that you tell him behind closed doors to go apply at Lowe's and Home Depot because yeah. they hiring.
Yeah.
And I'm saying I'll never work for nobody ever again unless it's in alignment with my purpose and yeah. the impact, right?
Like those keywords right there too.
Purpose and impact is everything for yeah. me. I cannot work for an organization unless, I told you this the first motherfucking day I stood up and I met you in front of all them people. And I'm like, look, I'm not here for the money.
That's right.
I'm not here for the paycheck.
That's right.
I'm here for the impact. These kids need me and I have a gift. So I'm here to serve, right? And that is where my mindset is at from now until I'm gone, right? And so to see her in that
you
audience,
kept your word.
I kept my word. That part.
You kept your
I have
word.
Not wavered. I have not wavered. I have not got a traditional 9-to-5 job. A lot of people have talked about me behind that. A lot of people I lost behind that. A lot of people, like, I've went through a lot of different waves and still going through different waves of that. But I definitely kept my word to That's myself. Right. Which was most important to me, being able to prove to myself that I can do it,
right.
even when people telling me that I can't or that it's stupid or that's impossible, right?
Oh, yeah.
So my mom didn't transition over into like really supporting me until she actually was able to see what I do. And bro, she left bawling, left in tears, like, yo, this is crazy. Like, you on stage and people chanting your name and like you're controlling a whole crowd of people
yeah.
with poetry.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wasn't even speaking back then, bro. I'm performing poetry and I'm hosting and I'm just being myself, right? How important, I bring that up because there's people that are watching this, that are gonna watch this episode, and I want them to be able to understand the importance of shutting out negative energy, negative feedback, negative perceptions from their family.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people who get discouraged, it's usually coming from their family, the people who are closest to them. Two-part question. Have you experienced that along your journey, discouragement from your family? And then the second part is, what would you tell people who are going through that right now?
Man, to be honest with you, yeah. my media family, man, they're very supportive.
Love it.
Because at a young age, I was on my entrepreneur tip.
Love it.
At a young age, I'm selling my candy. Mm. I tried getting a job, fell asleep at the job, got fired. It didn't work for me.
That was it.
Right? In college, I worked at an apartment complex. They gave me free rent. Right.
Right?
I told them, I said, man, I'm going to show up at the practice. Practice comes first.
Yep.
When I rose my hand as an elementary school kid, I said I was going to be a professional athlete. Obviously, I became a professional track athlete, so I stayed true to my word.
Right.
It wasn't for me.
Right.
Now, if I had to choose, because I still got my mom and dad in my life.
Right.
Like, there were others, you know what I mean, that were more supportive, right? But nah, man, I had a good support system in that space as far as rah, rah, rah. Now, no financials.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, no financials, but like rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
Man, and my hate really came from, I won't even use the word hate. That's a strong word.
Yeah.
Individuals who didn't believe in me at times, or the individuals who were saying I was all over the place, came from my friends.
Mm.
From their words and their actions.
Mm.
And the words that wasn't the one that impacted me the most. Or hurt my feelings the most, if I say my feelings got hurt.
Of course.
It was more so the actions.
Yeah.
You say you could be here at 6 o'clock, bro, you don't even show up.
Mm.
Oh, my bad, bro, I was with such and such. Wow, so she more important than what was going on?
Got you.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I hold no grudges, though. The individual who still spoke about it, I still employ.
Done
but
yet.
I say that to say that, wow.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Ain't it a trip to you how people, like, really, really have their priorities fucked up? And what I mean by this? People will be aware of their gift. They'll be completely in awareness of. So imagine you being completely aware of your calling, being aware of and present with all of your experiences that you've had, knowing what you're supposed to be doing, but blatantly choosing to do the opposite of it. So me being aware of my gift, being aware of the things that I'm great at, being aware of the things I'm passionate about. Imagine how many people out here are living a life to where they're completely putting that on hold in order to sustain a level of comfort. I tell people all the time, you can never ever receive the things that you want unless you're willing to step outside of your comfort zone. Because guess what? Everything you want is outside of your comfort zone, or you wouldn't want it.
Yeah.
So the only things that we want are things that are different.
That's right.
Things that are on another level. Things that are, right, that we gaze at, that we stare at, right? So talk to me a little bit about the importance of living outside of your comfort zone, these decisions that you've made in your life in order to get you to where you're at, and you haven't even got started yet, my man. You haven't even scratched the surface.
Yeah.
26, 28, I oftentimes look at myself like, yo, man, I'm so young, and then I listen to dudes like Gary V.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with Gary V, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, don't make me have a heart attack in this motherfucker.
Okay, okay.
You know, Gary V in his 40s, bro. And his biggest piece of advice to we talking multimillionaire, we talk about the whole nine. You know Gary V.
Oh yeah.
He's that nigga.
Oh yeah.
His biggest piece of advice to people in their 20s is patience. He said that we want everything tomorrow.
Yeah.
We don't understand that being 28 years old, you can fuck up for the next 10 years and still be a multimillionaire.
Oh yeah.
So just be patient and understanding and trusting your gifts. Back to my question. What do you say to the people out here that's putting their passions on hold in order to pursue and to do things that are keeping them comfortable, like paying your bills, like being non-confrontational, yeah, like being non-disruptive.
Yeah.
A lot of people put they shit on hold because they don't want to disrupt peace.
Oh yeah.
But a lot of times your calling is attached to disrupting peace.
Oh yeah.
You have to disrupt the peace in order to make any type of commotion or noise, right? So what is your advice to the ones that's out here that's putting their passions and their gifts and their purpose on hold in order to remain comfortable?
Man, I tell people at the end of the day.
Hey, I have some goddamn good questions. Let me just
okay.
pat my motherfucking self
okay.
on the back. Sometimes
okay.
I be talking, bro, and I be like, damn, that's a good-ass motherfucking question.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
I ain't got no notes. That's all from the dome. Go ahead,
oh, yeah, friend. Nah,
ahead,
I was still ahead. Ain't got to be explained. Yes, love. Man, I say that to say at the end of the day,
yes,
man.
Sir.
All you have to do is stay focused, man.
Yeah.
And they say, what does it mean to be stay focused, right? Staying focused means that, like, you know what you know, what you know, what you know.
Yes, sir.
Right? You know what you know, what you know, what you know. So only you know it. It's never been done before. Mm. They've never seen it before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So, like, you telling somebody, like, your dream, your goal, your purpose, they're looking at you like, what you talking about?
Mm.
Ain't nobody ever did this?
Because
they're looking for something to connect it to, right?
It's a different language. Yeah.
Right? They're looking for something to connect it to. I ain't never seen nobody do this.
Nope. So you can't do it.
Come on now. They said Jesus couldn't walk on water. What'd he do?
Come on, bro.
Okay.
And it's funny because not only did he walk on water, but he invited his boy to come
okay.
out and walk with him.
Okay.
That was the most powerful piece of that story to me. It was like he invited his, I forgot the brother name. What was the apostle's name that he invited out? Do y'all know? Well, Paul. He invited Paul to come out with him. Paul in the boat like, teacher, is that you? He like, come out here with me. And it's a trip about that story because Paul actually took a few steps to where he was walking on water.
Oh, yeah.
And then what happened? My man started to sink.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, "Teacher, why are you able to walk on water, but I wasn't able to walk the way you are?"
It's love.
He said, "Your faith, you lack faith." So you, and I bring that up because it's so pivotal for people. It's so pivotal for people. It's so pivotal for people. Yep, I'm about to tap in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's pivotal for people to understand. You can start your journey off walking on something that you thought was completely impossible.
Okay.
And you can start to sink because you lost faith in it at a certain level, at a certain point in it. Oh, yeah. And that point could have simply been your mama telling you it ain't going to work. That point could have been simply been the point where you lost all your money that you just invested for 2 years. That point could have been that breakup that you went through while you was walking on your purpose, right? And it's so many people out here that's allowing circumstances, events, and things in their lives to stop them dead in their track off some shit that they knew was working. Like, I was doing it.
Oh, yeah.
It was working. I saw things coming from it. I saw the benefits. I saw the reward. Damn, it was working. And I stopped because of a roadblock. And roadblocks are there simply to be ran over and not to like sink you. So look, I just gotta say this. It's very, very pivotal. It's important for me because I knew that this interview right here was gonna charge me up.
Oh yeah.
I knew that it was gonna take it to another level. I knew that it was gonna bring passion out of me. Yep. I knew that it was something special gonna come out of this. And I ain't talking about views. I ain't talking about none of that. I'm talking about two brothers right here with like minds. We both met each other, and the first thing we basically said to each other was, "Yo, bro, I think I'm looking in the mirror right now."
Oh, yeah.
Like we speak the same language. It's something about your energy that just reminds me of me. And for me, I think it's very important for people to understand you can build with two young, hungry black men.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got to say that.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say that because we live in an age right now to where we can get so caught up in the negative shit that's going on and we can bypass the actual positive shit that's going on. So I just want to thank you for not only coming on the show, but being willing to build with your main man, King Q. And it's only the beginning. I'm telling you, I got ideas.
Facts.
James, we've been texting. You know we've been texting. Yeah. We've been in constant communication about getting together, and it ain't happened yet. But guess what? It's written. And when it does happen, it's going to happen. It's going to be a whole motherfucking game plan, whole structure. Something going to come out of it.
100%.
That's going to be powerful. I always like to end my episodes off with the Unselfish Behavior Podcast. I hope you have fun, by the way.
Come on, man.
Huh?
Come on, man.
Huh?
Hey,
long overdue.
I only came for my man because I'll be in the bed catching them Z's right now, man.
That's love.
Okay.
So look, man, I always like to end my episodes off with allowing my guests to be able to look at that camera right there. And we end off with what we call an unselfish message. Basically, this message is centered around the audience, the people that's tuned in. Yep, the people that's tapped in. I call them my folks, my Ken Dogs, my Ace Boon Coons. You're going to look at them right now and leave them with James Howell's unselfish message. What's your ending remarks?
Man, it's always a difference between me saying I love you and me touching you saying I love you. That's the impact you want to have on individuals on a day-to-day basis. You want your words to feel like you're touching them. You don't want your words to ever go in vain. Because during the process, you're going to go through every emotion. At the end of the tunnel, I promise you, there is light. 100%. I appreciate it, Q.
That's a word. James Howell, first of many times, you know we got a lot of work to do.
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of work to do.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate you, bro. I love you. I genuinely mean that. I'm proud of you. And I know for a fact you have not even scratched the surface. And I know a lot of times we could think we're doing some shit, but with God on your side, with a purpose in mind, with a clear game plan in mind, with a vision, with a team, with support, you are absolutely unstoppable. And it's levels that you haven't even dreamed of yet that he's taking you to. And I'm going to keep praying that and speaking that. So it's your main man, King Q. This episode right here of the Unselfish Behavior Podcast, it is a wrap. And we out.